bitch better have my movie.
Welcome to Pitch Better Have My Movie. I'm Al.
And I'm Sam.
And we're going to come up with another barn-burning, Oscar-winning film idea right on the spot.
It's going to do numbers.
Yeah, we're here in the writer's room.
We're here in the writer's room. The retreat.
We've got a fucking cat that won't shut up.
Yeah, that won't shut the fuck up.
Let's starve for attention. I've really been neglecting it. I've been super deep into The Last of Us Part 1 on PS5.
So, she has not been fed.
Yeah. She's like emaciated.
Her eyes are glassy.
She's living through
She's
her
shaking.
Own, like, personal apocalypse. Just yeah. Because of, oh my God. No, the truth is she's fine. She's just.
Yeah, no. She has been fed.
She just likes being around.
Yeah.
And likes getting attention. But is also.
She likes me all of a sudden. That was not the case for a long ass time.
Yeah, well, she's just like a weird character, you know? She wants to be around and close, but is also not a lab cat by any means.
Yeah, I'm fine with that because I am mildly allergic.
Yeah, like...
I actually, like, developed more of a tolerance just crashing here drunk so many times.
Good, excellent. Dude, my allergies have been acting up. Like, I felt like under the weather for a couple days, like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then that went away. But then my head is just still so stuffed up and I feel like it must be.
I've been blowing my nose a lot.
Okay. So it's not just me. Yeah. It's weird. Well, I'm allergic to dust.
Is that an allergy or is it just like.
I went for an allergy test and I swear to God, they were like.
Isn't dust sort of vague? Or is it just like, is it like sand?
So it wasn't just dust. It was I forget if it was European or North American dust mites, but I'm allergic to dust mites. And it's weird because you would think that, okay, European dust mites are just in Europe, but it's fucking dust, so it's everywhere. Like, I'm sure we have European dust mites here or something. Oh, but yeah,
how bougie.
You see, yeah, I'm not that North American shit.
Yeah. Okay, we want something from across the pond.
Oh my, speaking of bougie, I got served an ad. Oh, I sent it to you. It's a Swarovski Incredible Hulk piece.
Oh God.
It's like a crystal diamond piece made by Swarovski, and I tagged you in it, and I made it because I commented on the ad. I was like, this is an abomination. And then some guy commented and he was like, I see what you did there. And then I realized, oh, it's because the abomination is a Hulk villain. But I wasn't trying to be clever.
Like, you were a fan.
Yeah, no, I was literally, this is an abomination. Like,
it was the first word that came to mind.
Yeah, this is like Swarovski's fallen from grace, and it was...
But it's like for the Marvel fan who has $100,000.
Yeah. It was literally like, you know, when they ever do cross-branding, it's like this times this. So it was Marvel times Swarovski, and I wanted to puke.
Really odd pairing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't fucking believe it. The Hulk, too. It's weird that they would start with the Hulk.
The Hulk, yeah. You'd think like Thor, something Nordic, something godlike would be more common with Swarovski.
Yeah, Thor's hammer or something like that. No, it was fucked. And I was like, don't ever. I yelled at my phone. I was like, algorithm, don't ever show me anything like this ever again.
Yeah. I remember like back in the day when like Facebook like likes just started.
Right.
And I said that I liked, it was the first time I realized like targeted marketing and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I said that I liked Pulp Fiction.
Right.
And then 2 days later, I just kept seeing ads for the Bad Motherfucker wallet.
Oh my God.
And I will admit, my first initial thought was, perhaps that is for me. And then I was like, oh no. I was sort of disgusted.
I'm a bad motherfucker. Yeah. I'm something of a bad motherfucker myself.
Yeah, fucking 19-year-old Sam just taking that out.
I'm kind of cool.
All of 130 pounds, just like, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see like you try to prevent a mugging and be like...
Oh my God, no, he would just... There's an extra victim here.
Yeah, you can take the wallet that says bad motherfucker. Before we forget, like, follow, subscribe.
Absolutely.
When this has come out, Sam would have guested on on my other podcast, The Franchisees.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it because I've been persona non grata there for quite some time.
Yeah, yeah.
You've actually mentioned me in a really negative light multiple times.
Which I think is fair.
Yeah, I get it. I know myself.
But that's not this podcast. This podcast is Pitch Better Have My Money.
Movie. Fucking idiot.
I mean, I'm going to keep that in. Mm. I don't care. Fuck it. I'll own my mistakes. We believe in accountability.
We do.
But like us, follow us, give us a good rating. It helps with the algorithm. Speaking of algorithms.
Oh, I love them.
To make myself more relevant in the advertising world, I'm going to start going by algorithm. Yeah. And I'll act like I know how these things work really well. Like I'm an expert.
Yeah.
Your company wants me because I understand.
Algorithm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing on that.
Okay.
So they're Arabic. I know that.
It's solid gold.
That's why Al's there.
It's Swarovski diamond.
Yeah.
Well, the assignment today.
Well, okay. What do people desire? What do they want? What does society crave? And what has been flawless in every single incarnation recently?
A COVID vaccine.
Don't get me started, right? This is an anti-vax podcast. Okay, I tried to return all my hepatitis vaccines.
No, we're not talking about...
Take them back!
We're not anti-vaxxing COVID. We're anti-vaxxing polio.
Well, all the way back to the get-go, all right? Yeah. I want smallpox in my life, all right? I want it to be a real possibility.
No, but what do the people really want? And what has a flawless track record?
We need more films where they take a really famous sort of classic beloved movie
mm-hmm.
and then they remake it with an all female cast.
Yes.
Girl boss it up.
Yes, queen.
Yes, queen.
Fuck yeah.
We love the society as writ large loves them every single time.
Yeah. What are some of your favorites?
Oh, geez. I've watched so many that I can hardly. Well, I mean, Ocean's 8.
Right. I never saw it.
I didn't see it either, but I know it will be a favorite.
And shout outs, you know, to the namesake of the pod. Rihanna's in it, isn't she?
Rihanna is in it.
We love Rihanna here.
Ocean's 8, classic.
The best Ghostbusters movie.
The only Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
I've wished Bill Murray dead many times since seeing that because I realized what Ghostbusters could be.
He has a cameo in it, though, I think.
Does he really?
I did see that one. I did watch it.
Oh, and that's where he belongs in Ghostbusters, as a cameo.
Yeah.
Okay, in the all-female remake.
Playing second fiddle to Kate McKinnon, who's very funny.
Oh. SNL's glory years.
Oh, my God. That hilarious sketch where she's dressed as Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my God, so good. But remember that musical tribute to Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
I don't.
There wasn't a single fucking joke in it. They're just going like, oh, 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 and like pounding their chests. Oh.
Really?
Yeah, it's a real thing.
That's what they did?
Yeah, that was her opener.
For Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Yeah, because she perished.
But why the pounding of the chest?
Because she's a fucking girl boss.
Yeah, okay. Okay, checks out. Yeah.
Smack those titties.
Yeah, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, it's a signifier. You're smacking titties. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I just remember the Hallelujah performance after Donald Trump won.
Oh, my God.
We needed someone to lead us in those dark times.
I think about that when I'm trying not to come. It is riveting.
It's, I don't know.
They had him on while he was running.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
And now they're singing this fucking maudlin, mawkish bullshit.
Yeah.
I like that song, but in that context, it was embarrassing.
Made possibly the worst performance of that song.
Easily.
Ever.
Okay.
Ever. Yeah, what were they fucking thinking? But Kay McKinnon is great in the all-female Ghostbusters.
We love them. But the world needs more.
Girl Busters,
okay? Yeah. Title's waiting there.
Yeah. I want it, like, it's not really the same, but What Men Want, you know, when they made
What Women Want. What Men Want. In the 90s,
but they made What Men Want. Yeah, who's in it?
I'm sure they would be pretty
you know what?
Straightforward.
Me and Kyle, my ex-roommate, watched it. It wasn't bad.
Oh, What Women Want?
What Men Want.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's an actual movie?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I wasn't joking.
Oh.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I thought it would just be like guys walking around being like, oh, pussy. Like an hour and a half.
Well, that was that Chappelle Show sketch, right? Yeah. He was like, they couldn't do the opposite because it would be horrific.
Oh, did I just steal from Chappelle? I totally forgot.
It's okay. Anyway, today, you know, Sam's not here. I'm joined by my co-host, Carlos Mencia.
I'm not going to try to do his voice. Oh, yeah. Probably because I can't.
Yeah. Mind of Mencia. Ooh.
I remember when that show was big.
My guest co-host today, Dane Cook.
Whoa! What is up, everyone?
That was... an immaculate Dane Cook. Yeah.
That's exactly. What he sounds these days. He's had a lot of surgery.
Wow. This is definitely Dane Cook.
Have you seen what his face looks like now?
Dane Cook?
Oh, it is different.
Really?
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like bloated, but he's still trim, but it's like weird. It's very rectangular and swollen.
That does sound very strange.
Yeah.
Again, my ex-roommate and I, Kyle, we watched, because it's the worst rated HBO thing that was ever made, but it was his tour documentary show. What was it called?
Tourgasm?
Tourgasm, yeah. Well, it was about Tourgasm. I don't know. Was that what it was called?
I remember seeing ads for that. Like, I bought a South Park DVD and they were showing ads for that.
The actual show might have had an even worse name, On the Road with Dane Cook or something like that. But he was on Tourgasm and he was headlining because this is when he was the biggest fucking thing
huge.
On the planet.
Yeah.
And he's with Bobby Kelly.
Bobby Kelly, yeah.
Who he's had a real, relevance resurgence recently, but I can't take him seriously after watching Tourgasm. He's so fucking lame on Tourgasm. And also hilariously, his name is Robert Kelly. He's R. Kelly.
Yeah, he's R. Kelly.
But
yeah, Gary Gulman, I think, was
Gary Gulman, who's actually just the stoic. So this is why it's worth watching, and it's really funny. It's these four guys, and the MC is just this young guy who's always testing out jokes. And it's the really cringe part is Dane and Bobby trying to be his mentors and stuff, and they're you gotta you workshop it and talk about pussy and stuff. You got to go out and you got to get your dick wet. They're very classic, mid-2000s toxic masculinity, which is, it's such a crystallized time capsule.
It was a very specific time.
It's so surreal and funny to watch. But then you have Gary Gulman, and this was around the time that he famously was going through a huge depressive episode.
Yeah, serious episode. Yeah.
Which he wound up making a really good special about called The Great Depression,
yeah,
a few years ago. Yeah, it was pretty good. But so he's clearly in the midst of that, right? And he's not really partaking in this super bro energy that's going on the tour bus. I mean, the fucking thing is called Tourgasm.
Tourgasm. I mean, it sounds
hot.
Yeah, it sounds hot.
But he at one point is he skips a few shows on the tour, right? And Dane's the main star. And he's I got to talk to Gary because this is fucked up. You can't be doing this. You know, you can't agree to go on Tourgasm and then you miss a couple shows. So he has the scene where he's going to confront Gary Gulman, and they don't show it because you could tell Gary Gulman was probably just listen, stop recording. Shut the fucking cameras off because I'm going through something and I'm not going to make a couple shows.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't actually.
It's what are you going to do? Gary Gulman's 6'6". He's a big
huge,
guy.
Yeah.
ultimately.
But they don't show it, but it's just Dane pumping himself up, being I'm going to go talk. But then he clearly shut it down because they don't air the footage. And then it cuts back to Dane Cook being I sorted Gary out. We had a
Jesus, yeah. That's nothing. You don't have the footage. Why would you even include him fucking talking?
Because Dane Cook had to say, he obviously had Final Cut and was king of the ball. And he was just I'm going to try to make myself look like a badass. And they couldn't use the footage because Gary probably threatened them with physical violence and possibly litigation. But Dane Cook was still all right, just then cut back to me and I'll be yeah. So
reminding people that I look like a boss in the scene they didn't see.
Exactly. Yeah. It's worth watching. If you're into if you're a connoisseur of cringe like I am.
I truly am. You know I am.
Yeah. Then it's worth watching.
Yeah.
But anyway, Girl Boss Remakes.
Girl Boss Remakes. All right.
So let's do a Girl Boss Remake of Tourgasm. With the top female comics du jour.
I don't even know who they like. I mean,
Jordan Jensen.
Jordan Jensen. No, who's the top? I don't know. It's fucking.
I don't know who's the top. She's just comedy seller scene. She's really funny.
She's funny,
she's
though.
Great,
but
yeah. But who? I don't know who the top. Who the Joan Rivers du jour are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think there's any real Joan Rivers out right now. I don't know.
Maybe it doesn't work.
Amy Schumer. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it would work.
But
there are movies that cry out for a Girl Boss remake.
Well, I think...
Well, it's just what I've noticed in Girl Boss remakes is that they kind of lean towards like just like entertaining, crowd pleasing, occasionally comedies or, you know, a little caper movie like Ocean's 8. But they don't go for the heart, like just like the brutal movies, the films that really make us, the films that test you. They as an audience member.
Ever made like a Girl Boss remake to like, no one's ever won an award off of a Girl Boss remake.
And that is a travesty. It also speaks to the underlying sexism that pervades our society. Because you're going to tell me that the remake of Ghostbusters didn't deserve an Oscar for something?
It was really good. I'm glad they let them improv as much of their lines as possible. Because they're really quick.
Yeah, and they really worked. Every single joke of theirs worked.
It's actually like flabbergasting, you know, to like sit there and watch something so funny.
But like, what are these films that cry out for a Girl Boss remake? I was thinking No Country for Old Women. Okay.
Because you have to change the title too.
You have to change the title or otherwise it's not a Girl Boss remake.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. That's a masculine movie and, you know.
And that's why it's to this day detested.
It's looked down upon.
It's looked down upon. People snicker behind its back.
Yeah. Cormac McCarthy.
Boo.
Yeah.
All right. Pulitzer Prize up my ass. How about that? Shove it right up there. Cormac. What the fuck kind of name is that?
Honestly.
The Harry Potter fucking off villain.
When I was in high school and, you know, you started hearing about Cormac McCarthy. And you're like, well, Blood Meridian, it's so fucked up.
Use some fucking punctuation.
Yeah, that was literally what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
No. I'm glad someone said it.
Oh, like, it's so irritating.
Yeah. Like you learn the rules so you can break them. Fuck you, Cormac.
No, that's a good rule.
It's hard to
quotation
read.
Quotation marks make it easy for me to read the thing you're trying to impart. Okay.
You
spend all this time, like, your limp, your, like, wrists were too busy?
Yeah, I know he, like, types on a typewriter, supposedly.
They have quotation marks on a fucking typewriter.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
I actually don't know. I've never been on a typewriter. I'm so young.
It's possible, like, maybe you do have to do, like, commas, but then, like, indent it so they're higher up and stuff, which would be a pain
in
the ass.
That sounds like a ball ache.
Yeah.
But no, okay.
But also use a laptop, you fucking piece of shit.
He's a millionaire.
Cormac
you can
McCarthy.
Afford a goddamn Dell.
You dumb idiot.
Yeah, he's an absolute fucking loser.
Yeah, we should watch that movie that he wrote. Like, what was it called? The
Child of God?
No.
Did he not write it?
He did write the book.
I know he wrote the book.
But he wrote a movie that's like not a book. It was called like The Fixer, and it was with like Javier Bardem. And the consultant or something?
The accountant?
No.
With Ben Affleck?
No.
Who's autistic?
You know it's not that one.
He probably wrote The Accountant.
Is that even what that movie's called? The Accountant?
I think it's called The Accountant.
What's Paycheck then? Is Paycheck just the same movie Paycheck, but with a different name?
Yeah. Paycheck is a Ben Affleck as well.
Fuck.
And it describes why he chose to take the movie on. The only reason.
And to be fair, so does The Accountant, because his accountant told him to.
His accountant's like, okay, you're getting through another messy divorce.
Yeah. No, I think it's called The Consultant or something.
It sounds exhilarating.
And it was like, it had a famous line that was like absolute gibberish. That's like, what temperature is greed or something like that. And people were like,
it's medium cool.
Yeah. What does that mean? Yeah. Fucking Cormac McCarthy, man.
Oh, my God. This is an anti-McCarthy. This is a McCarthy. This is against McCarthyism in all its forms.
Yeah. We're McCarthyists in the sense that we're on a witch hunt for one man.
We want one man. Okay. And we want him publicly humiliated and cast away from his family.
Yeah.
No.
No, but that's good. No Country for Old Women.
For Old Women.
I'm into that.
Okay. Girl Boss remake.
Hey, sell me on it. Pitch me on it.
Okay. I'm thinking we get a really... Because famously in No Country for Old Men... There's very little soundtrack. There's almost no music.
There isn't any, yeah.
Okay, I want fucking... Like, we need this to be a banger,
okay?
Yeah. I want Charlie XCX fucking going... Or wait, what's her name?
Charlie XCX, that's
right. Oh, I got it.
Yeah, I love Charlie XCX, so I'm on board.
Okay.
Yeah. Her hyper-pop stylings will mesh perfectly with the desolate, dreary desert landscapes.
That would be sweet. Who else... needs to be on the soundtrack. I want the music blasting.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, okay? We get her to record an original tune. We call them tunes.
Yeah, yeah. Way. It's called, it's like the title track. It's called No Country
For Old Women. Yeah. Okay. And I think she should go back to country.
Yeah, that'll be the big, like,
that would be her thing. She's like, it's like her return to country.
That's smart, actually.
Yeah, okay. So we're already on, so it opens with that song. And you can barely hear the monologue over the Taylor Swift tune.
Yeah, it's like mixed.
Yeah.
80-20 towards the Taylor Swift song.
Who does that? I keep it juicy, juicy. I eat that lunch. Da, 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 da. Oh, gosh.
I think you just made that up.
No.
I've never heard that before in my life.
I eat that lunch. Da, 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 da. Keep that pump. Oh, fuck. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, you know Cardi B's on that soundtrack?
Cardi B's going to be on the soundtrack. That's already been established through eye contact between you and I. Can't remember her fucking name.
This is funny to think of No Country for Old Men. Like, it literally has no musical score.
This is going to be overwhelming with the soundtrack. Like, and I mean, like, it's mixed kind of bad, so you can't really hear the women talk because the soundtrack is just so deafening.
Yeah, it's like pervasive.
Yeah,
it does not let up. That's really funny.
Let's see.
Like, you know, the three kind of main figures in No Country for Old Men are Llewellyn.
Mm-hmm. Llewellyn Moss.
Josh Brolin.
Anton
Chigurh, obviously.
Javier
Bardem. Amazing performance.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff Ed Tom Bell by Tommy Lee Jones. So scrap all those characters.
We don't need them.
Gross old men.
Yes.
Old white men, with the exception of
Anton Chigurh. Javier Bardem, no.
Who is the villain, which is kind of
interesting.
Yeah.
So how do we have a white woman as a villain?
Ooh.
I'm like thinking that. Kate McKinnon.
With that haircut?
The exact same haircut.
And after she kills someone, she like dances because you know she loves
She should have to keep the Hillary Clinton hair. Kate McKinnon is Antine Chigurh.
And Antoinette
Chigurh. Antoinette Chigurh.
She'll kill you. Six ways to Sunday. What are they what's like Woody Harrelson's famous line where he's like, yeah, picture the bubonic plague with a shitty haircut.
Chigurh, how dangerous a man is he? Stephen Root. And
right,
then he's compared to what? The bubonic plague?
That's it, yeah.
He's bad enough you call me. He's a psychopathic killer, but there's plenty of them around.
I love the moment where they're going out to see the site. It's like Stephen Root, Anton Chigurh, and some other associate who Anton Chigurh, of course, eventually dispatches brutally. And Stephen Root realizes he's like, I guess I'm riding bitch. Stephen Root rocks.
Stephen Root's like the best character actor maybe of all time.
Can he stay?
No.
Yeah, true.
I'm sorry.
We got to commit.
Our foot is down, and it is down on the side of women.
I want to be on the right
not
side
on
of
their
history.
Neck, as it famously has been from other men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to be on the right side of history. So, Stephen Root, you're
fired.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Maybe we could secretly bring him back on set.
We can
in a
maybe
wig.
Have him maybe
Stephanie Root
feature mm-hmm. on like one of the song. Two one of the tunes.
Oh, no, yeah.
We can have him feature.
He's on a song with Cardi B.
Yeah,
Cardi B. And
Cardi
Stephen
B.
Root.
Feat Stephen Root. This country is whack.
Yeah. Okay. I feel better.
Yeah.
I feel better. So Kate McKinnon. As what was her name again? Antoinette Chigurh.
Antoinette Chigurh. We could just call her like Kate Chigurh.
Let's just call her Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon playing Kate McKinnon.
Antoinette Chigurh.
Antoinette Chigurh works. Yeah.
And then we got the dumb hunter guy, and then the
old
dumb.
Yeah, so we need the Josh Brolin character,
sheriff.
See, I'm thinking, and I don't know if it worked, but it could potentially.
All right, I'm listening.
Every character is played by Kate McKinnon. She is a master of impressions, a master of voices, a master of characters. What better way to make the world see? The world already knows, but the world needs to see.
Okay.
Theoretically, we could do that. That's a possibility.
Yeah. No, I'm into that. I'm just picturing, like, you know, the famous we don't have to tell you the plot. You've seen the fucking movie. Mm-hmm. There's a reason we're girl bossing it because it's big.
Yeah.
It won like all the Academy Awards.
It won a ton of Oscars. Yeah. So it was the best movie to ever win an Oscar, in my opinion.
I think There Will Be Blood should have won it that year, but fuck you. Go watch Licorice Pizza.
I did watch Licorice Pizza. I liked it.
So you know the famous anticlimactic ending where you think there's going to be a big shootout?
No, you just see him dead in the pool. It just, the camera kind of lingers on him for a sec. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Sheriff Ed Tom Bell shows up late because he's always been like three steps behind because there's no country for old men.
No.
So it's Kate McKinnon as Sheriff Ed Tom Bell, Sheriff Edna Tom Bell.
Works like a charm.
And she goes into the crime scene and she sees Luann Moss dead and stuff, and realizes that, like, you know, couldn't stop anything, didn't do anything. She's just walking through that motel where this gunfight's been, and she sees a piano. in the motel, like, common area.
Of course she has to play Hallelujah. And we do the whole song.
As Kate McKinnon, as Luann.
So it's like, and the body's still floating in the pool. Like, yeah. She's not attending to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But she has to get a song out.
Totally.
Yeah.
And we sit through the whole song.
That's perfect. Yes.
Yeah. That's a really good one.
Okay. But, you know, there are other films that can be girl boss.
Yeah. Put that one, you know, in the bank.
Yeah.
That's the one. I was thinking, the one that sprung to my mind when you explained the assignment today was The Green Mile.
The Green Mile. What would you call it? Like The Pink Mile?
No, I was thinking like The Green Millie.
So this sort of takes some of the context out of it, because what the fuck is a Millie?
No,
like Bobby Brown, is she in it? We can have her play John.
She plays John Coffey. She plays Joan Coffey.
Joan Coffey, played by Millie Bobby Brown. And it's called The Green Millie.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like meta.
Yeah.
It's kind of self-reflexive.
Women are smarter than men, okay? So we can do that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right? That's all I got.
So it's The Green Millie.
It's The Green, or The Green Miley.
The Green Miley.
And we got Miley Cyrus.
Oh,
and
wow.
And she records an original song.
We film
song.
Them both at the same time.
Yeah.
So you're on the screen, you're seeing the performances. One, Millie Bobby Brown. One, Miley Cyrus. The audience gets to pick who is hotter.
Hashtag girl boss.
Hashtag girl boss.
Yeah, at the end... Like before the credits.
You have to turn on your phone. You give it a number.
It's like one of those, they used to have those games that you would play. Like,
yeah, the fucking time play.
Time play, yeah. Vote now for
who? Tanner Zipchin.
Yeah, we get Tanner Zipchin
back. We get Tanner Zipchin at the end to tell people to vote for who is hotter.
Even trashier, it's not like through your phone. It's literally just the credits come up and it's like, all the Miley fans clap, really. We want to hear you get loud.
Yeah. Like, one of the fat producers being like, all right, all the Miley fans.
It's just trying to get them to make some noise in the theater.
But I love, because this has not been done before.
Yeah.
You're seeing the same movie, but with the lead actor. It's a split screen, like you're playing multiplayer.
Yeah.
And you're seeing... Yeah. And you get to pick, like, who's doing a better job right now.
Yeah.
Right now, I sort of appreciate what, like, Millie did in this scene. You know, something her eyes did. In this scene, you're like, oh, Miley's hotter than Millie in this scene. You know? So the audience really is forced to confront certain things, certain harsh realities.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty experimental.
It's experimental, but again, women can get it.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe some of the schlongs in the audience will have a hard time figuring it out. But they'll like the voting aspect.
So in a way, there is something for everyone.
There's something for everyone.
Yeah.
We want this is going to be a hit.
Yeah, like, you know, people are like, oh, I'm getting dragged to the new girl. How often do you say that? I'm getting dragged to the new girl boss
remake? At least 14 times in my life.
But now they're going to be like, oh, I want to see who's hotter.
Yeah, I've got a phone. I've got some voting to do. All right. People love to vote.
Yeah, that's good. And then at the end, after the theatrical one run where they've pulled everything, the winner for Who's Hotter, like, they get on the 4K UHD release, you do get the version that has both of them. You get both versions, but the, like, the one who was voted hotter is kind of the hero version.
The better one. Yeah. It's in better. It's the quality's better.
Yeah.
They're on the cover. Yeah.
Exactly. That's revolutionary marketing.
I think it's the fact that this hasn't been done is a travesty.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Miley Cyrus or Millie Bobby Brown as Joan Coffey.
As Joan Coffey.
Doing their best Michael Duncan Clark impression.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Fuck.
You just sullied a dead man's name.
I'm just too excited.
Yeah.
Actually, I have nothing but respect for Michael Clark Duncan. Michael
Duncan rules.
He was...
He's so good in that movie.
Yeah, he really is. Did he win anything ever?
He got nominated for an Oscar. He got nominated for an Oscar. As well he should have, because he was a spectacular in that movie.
I don't know his stats, and not to like say talk about him like a Pokemon or like a boxer or something. Yeah, like
he's
was
not
he
as
actually?
Big
yeah,
as
that's
they
what
make
I thought.
Him in the movie,
that's
but
what
he's
I thought.
I mean, he's still jacked as hell.
He was a big
movie.
Boy.
He was like 6'6".
He's okay, so he is quite tall.
He's a big,
too,
he's a big
dude
for sure. He played Kingpin in that Daredevil movie.
Right,
he's the best part of that by far.
Because I would have been disappointed if it was all just like movie magic.
No, no, no. He's
you know?
A big dude.
Okay, good. Like if it turned out he was like 5'7" and he's like 175,
like
but like
slightly
a bulky,
shorter than Ben Stiller.
Yeah. I would have been, but I'm glad that he was as large of a presence as
yeah, he's
he
still
seemed.
Imposing, dude, for sure.
Yeah, but he was able to, obviously he was able to play like a real tough, but then he was also obviously in the Green Mile able to like play the most sensitive, the butyl.
Sweet. Yeah.
And that's who I choose to believe he was in his personal life.
Apparently he was a really nice guy.
Oh, okay.
Although great. He was married to Omarosa from The Apprentice. Did you ever watch The Apprentice?
What?
They were at least dating, like seriously dating. And she was actually the one that found him when he died.
Omarosa did?
You remember Omarosa?
Yeah,
she
that
was
like
served
one of the...
in the Trump administration briefly.
Yeah, that was one of the only seasons of The Apprentice I watched.
I mean, she was like made to be on TV. She really nailed that season. Like she's like, oh, I'm going to be the villain. And she delivered.
I would actually love to rewatch those early Apprentice
seasons.
She lived
a pretty interesting life.
Yeah, she sounds like it.
Yeah.
And then there was a celebrity Apprentice. I think it was with Gilbert Gottfried when he did a thing and Trump praised him. He was like, thank you, mein Führer.
Tom Green is a really, really funny story about working on that.
Tom Green was on Celebrity Apprentice too? I think I'm just going to legally download Celebrity Apprentice seasons because they seem
the Celebrity Apprentice. Yeah, well, it's just so insane. Yeah. It's like the president gave us a challenge. You know, like it's
before
so,
he was president.
Before he was president,
yeah,
but
yeah.
When you look at it in retrospect, it's just absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, it's the former president of the United States telling Tom Green to like sell lemonade. Or
like
something,
we like up until this point, like you had like a former president co-star in a movie with a chimpanzee. And that was about as wild as it was like Bedtime for Bozo or whatever.
Right.
The Reagan movie. But this is just like him like just shitting on Gilbert Gottfried. You know, it's bizarre.
It's super bizarre. We live in bizarre times.
Yeah, they're great. Don't change them for anything.
Obviously, as important of a figure as Joan Coffey is in the Green Millie Miley.
And that should be on the poster, too. Millie Miley. With the slash. And it should have them like facing each other, like, you know, like on the poster.
Oh, yeah. Like it's almost like a face off.
Like it's like it's X versus Sever. Yeah. Ballistic.
Okay. Hold on. Pocket that. That's the next all female remake we're making.
Ballistic X versus Sever. Yeah.
And one of them is already a woman, right?
Yeah.
One of them was like Lucy
Liu. Either X or Sever. I don't recall.
Was it Lucy Liu?
Lucy Liu and Antonio Banderas.
Okay, cool. Well, now they
have to see that movie. Apparently,
oh, me
it's
too.
Just a nightmare.
Dude, that movie is based on a Game Boy Advance video game.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is that where it came from?
It was like a Game Boy Advance first-person shooter. Imagine that on the Game Boy Advance. It was called X vs. Sever. I never played it, but I remember it looking like kind of cool. Kind of cool that they did a first-person shooter on the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, that's a bit of a milestone.
Yeah. Well, the Game Boy Advance kind of rocked as a system, IMO.
I never played... Well, I don't think I played it that much. Maybe I played a little Pokemon on it.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Girl Boss, Ballistic, X versus Sever. We got to change that title. Ballistic.
Ballistic. Volvistic.
Yep, that's it. There it is.
Jesus. I don't know where this stuff comes from. So we got volvistic.
X versus X, because they have two X chromosomes.
That's, oh my God. Fuck, I'm Jesus. Smart. Al-Yoop.
Yeah. That's also what they call me.
Al-Yoop.
But before we get sidetracked with another golden idea, the Green Millie Miley. Equally important character is Tom Hanks, right?
Yes, that's right.
And I know what you're thinking, but before you say that, I think, you know, remember David Morse, that guy?
Yeah.
I think his character should be played by Kate McKinnon.
You know what? I want Kate McKinnon in all of these movies.
Because she's the ultimate girl boss.
She's the ultimate girl boss. Everybody Slayed loves on her. SNL, she's yeah. never had a false moment.
She's a really good dancer, yeah. really good singer.
Yeah. And her tacit approval of anybody besides Bernie Sanders lifts my spirits every time.
Yeah. So I want Kay McKinnon as David Morse's character. I can't even remember necessarily what he's called or what he does.
He's a security guard alongside Tom Hanks. He's actually quite nice in the movie, which yeah. is sort of like goes against the David Morse. He usually plays like a creep.
I do remember that. He's just kind of like he's Tom like a Hanks's nice guy. Friend. Yeah. yeah. yeah.
He's also a prison guard.
Yes. Because then I just think it would be like a really funny scene to have her as David Morse, like, again, dancing on the Green Mile.
Oh,
like
she's got to dance.
Yeah, she's like, you know.
Moves like that.
Busting.
And the audience will just be, you know, clutching their pearls and their... the audience will be laughing a lot at Kate McKinnon's dancing.
Yeah, because this is also going to have
a real much
bombastic soundtrack.
Is this going to have a bombastic soundtrack? I thought we were saving that for the... Are we going to do this? I guess every GoBoss remake yeah. needs to have a soundtrack that overwhelms, you know?
100%.
That makes a statement.
We're not going to have a movie that stars Miley Cyrus, well, at least half of it does, and not...
We need to have some tunes. And I assume Millie Bobby Brown has a recording career because, like, any famous girl of her age has to do songs now.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is a great way to kind of, you know, break that in, break mm-hmm. that open. And I think that's also, again, really great for marketing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like Kate McKinnon is Dave Morse escorting a prisoner, and the prisoner's kind of bummed, but she's like,
she's dancing,
cutting her rug. Bombastic Miley Cyrus banger on the soundtrack, and then, like, all the other prisoners are shouting, like, ooh! Bad bitch twerking on the Green Millie. Woo! Bad bitch on the Green Miley.
Hell Queen. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah. I feel like dancing.
Yeah, I think we should.
I feel like we should.
If you could have seen that.
You'd be harder than me.
Oh, man. Bad bitch twerking on the Green Millie.
Oh, see, that's the tune. Bomp. That's the song.
Bomp.
That's the bomp, single. Bomp, bomp, bomp. And maybe that's the single with a duet.
Ooh, a whole... Ooh, a tale of two Mileys.
Tale of two Millie Mileys.
Yeah. but so who is playing the Tom Hanks role?
Oh, jeez.
And there's got to be, like, a really powerful scene where, like, Miley Millie just, like, cups their vagina and cures their, like...
Oh, yeah, the UTI.
Yeah, and they just kind of, like, piss into their hand and he's like, let it out. Miley Cyrus is like, let it out. And then bees come out of her mouth. That movie, I gotta rewatch The Green Mile.
It's pretty entertaining.
I like that guy, like Delacroix, mm-hmm. who has the Mr. Jangles.
The Cajun guy.
Yeah. Mr. Jangles. Oh, and then there's that one dickhead prison guard who kills Mr. Jangles.
Oh, the psycho one. Yeah.
Yeah. But then Joan Coffey also heals Mr. Jangles, and bees come out of her mouth.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Tom Hanks character.
Yeah.
Would be played by, I feel like, a contest winner.
Yeah.
Because this is about Joan, okay? This is about Millie and Miley. So we have a contest.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's about fandom and it's about love of Millie and Miley. And whoever wins this nondescript contest gets to be the Tom Hanks character.
Can I not ask you, though, is auditioning not kind of like a contest in and of itself?
You know, it's important that you say that.
Yeah.
It's true that you say that.
Yeah.
But no.
Do they have to do something really fucking dumb?
Yeah, they have to do something for this contest, yeah. Right? I'm saying, like, climb. Oh, they have to try to break into the Miley or Millie's house. Because I'm sure that they both have security systems and all that.
Right.
But the fan that manages
to get closest
break
to
the perimeter, yeah, all right?
To get touch.
First one to lick their face. So that's the contest.
Yeah.
Fans have to sort of break the perimeter of one of their houses and lick the face of either Miley or Millie.
And you think Miley and Millie would be okay with this?
They are professionals.
True. And being paid.
They're being
an exorbitant sum.
Ludicrous money.
Yeah. You sure we can't just...
And it's a part of the artistic process.
We can't get them to just like eat a bowl of bees or something?
I'm thinking break into their own...
and lick their face.
But you know, we could also just get like Kathy Bates.
Oh, I could kind of see that. So either this contest winner or Kathy...
Like the oldest actress we could actually think of.
I could picture... Oh, it's actually funny that you say that, because Kathy Bates is recently... She's in like a Girl Boss remake of Matlock.
Is she actually?
She plays Matlock.
She's doing Matlock?
Yeah, I think our friend Pat worked on it.
Huh.
Yeah, so there you go. Kathy Bates is a perfect choice. She's
I
a
love
girl
Kathy
boss.
Bates.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorite actors.
A total girl boss.
Yeah, she kills it. She's good in everything.
Part of me does like the visual, because we put this contest out and then swarms of like both, you know, aspiring actors, but then also just super fans.
Yeah. Just fans that can't wait to see them.
Yeah, they can't step foot out of their house without being swarmed by people trying to lick their face so they can play Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
in a movie,
but it's just one lick.
Them.
We're not like, it's just a single lick. First person to get in, boom.
Yeah.
They're the much bigger role.
Yeah. Part of me wants to kind of watch that pandemonium ensue. But Kathy Bates is a good backup.
Yeah, she's a backup. We'll have her on retainer.
Yeah. In case like nobody gets close enough because their security guards just
their security
kill
guards
everyone.
Too, yes. They go way overboard.
They're like running up to them, tongues out, and the security guard just grabs them by the throat, like lifts them.
They've got plenty of experience doing that shit, all right? They're professionals.
Yeah.
No, it'll be great. There's nothing like a contest to find who the real actors are.
Yeah.
And who we're just sort of playing around for fun.
Alternatively, though, you know, part of me is very excited to see a scene of Kathy Bates pissing into either Millie Bob. That's what happens. I'm not misremembering it. He pees in John Coffey's hand.
No, so. John no point does he piss in Michael Clark Duncan's hand, you goddamn idiot. No, he has difficulty peeing, but John Coffey just grabs him by the hand, not the cock.
What?
Yeah, no. At no point in this Oscar-winning film does...
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Do you think he's just going to go like the magic goes through the urine stream?
I have a weird Mandela effect memory where there's a scene where he just like powerfully.
I was wondering what the fuck you were talking about. Oh, no, right. He touches his hand because the magic works no matter where you touch him. He doesn't have to
hear me out. Hear me out.
Use the orifice.
Hear me. So it's been a minute since I've seen this movie.
Appendage.
And in my memory, there's distinctly a scene where he like thrusts his hand and he just like powerfully like squeezes his groin. And then Tom Hanks is like, at first like, oh, you're hurting my groin. But then he almost feels like ecstasy, right? Because he's loosened up his like stones or whatever. And then he just starts pissing freely into his hand. Cause that's what he's like curing his piss problem. And then as he's pissing, John Coffey like looks up while like, you know, jerking off his balls.
Yeah.
And just like bees come out of his mouth.
I mean, your memory, I wouldn't call it a steel trap. It's more of a bear trap. It's been rusted over. But
that seems right to me.
No, it's not. It's not right.
Well, I'm going to choose to remember it my way.
You know, like, it's honestly, it's a more interesting scene.
Thank you.
Just grabbing someone's hand is fucking bush league. All right. Let's grab some bush and some balls. And make it major league.
I know there's like zero chance of this happening, but part of me like wants us to like look up the scene and he does grab his dick. And
that then would I could be sweet like, if I was just dead wrong. And
I was right.
This was Frank Darabont, all right? This man took chances.
Was that Frank Darabont?
I believe so, yeah.
Cool. He also did Shawshank, yeah, which is another.
I think he did The Mist too.
Yeah, right. He did. Yeah.
That was just like, I saw it in theaters. It was like the first ever screening in North America.
Cool.
And yeah, that ending fucking rules.
He loved adapting Stephen King.
He's pretty.
He was good at it too.
Good at it. Yeah.
That was what Hearts in Atlantis's problem was, that they didn't use Frank Darabont.
Also, it's one of the weaker Stephen King books.
Ooh.
Sorry, Stephen.
Shots fired.
You know I love you, boy. Me and Misery are like this, son. I'm doing.
Sam is
crossing my fingers.
Yeah, his
to imply that we're middle. Close.
Yeah, you and Misery.
Yeah.
Kathy Bates. It all comes around.
Titan.
Who plays the like psychotic Sam Rockwell character? It's got to be like edgy.
Someone edgy.
Yeah.
Who should play the serial killer Sam Rockwell character?
Because it turns out Sam Rockwell was the person who committed the
crimes. He's the person that murdered the two girls.
And then there's also that piece of shit police officer who does it with the
guys. Yeah, that's what I love about that movie. Is there's two very good villains.
Yeah.
Like, and you really hate them both.
Yeah. Because he doesn't. Oh, it's the Delacroix guy, yeah, right? He doesn't
put the sponge on.
Yeah, so it's a really slow burn.
So there's no reactivity. So like they die, like they basically like burn like their whole scalp like melt.
Oh,
it's like
God,
it's awful.
Yeah.
It's pretty like harrowing scene.
Yeah,
and he just does it because he's a little psycho.
Yeah.
I
forgot to wet the sponge.
That guy's an interesting. That actor, I forget his name, but he married a 16-year-old. Later in life, when he was like in his 50s, it was quite the kerfuffle.
Yeah, sounds like kind of a dick in real life.
It sounds like he's not all there.
Yeah.
But
who should we cast as the two villains?
So the two villains, maybe we get
Jenna Ortega.
I don't know what that is.
Wednesday.
Oh, from the Addams Family.
Yeah, but the new like TV show version, she's just kind of like another Hollywood it girl right now.
But we already have two Hollywood it girls.
Fair enough.
I feel like we should go like conjoined twin. Like
for both of them?
For like, both playing. So one's playing. Okay, so. But like, wouldn't that be interesting if it's a conjoined twin? And but like
so it's always like shot in a way where you're only seeing one.
Exactly.
And then off the edge
you might
of the
get
frame.
A little the glimpse of the head.
Mm.
It would be great if we get one that's joined at the head. Because then that would take some serious editing and excellent camera work to make that go.
No, I want to see like a real bad bitch.
Mm.
Rihanna should play one.
Rihanna can play the creepy prison guard.
I see her more as a Sam Rockwell, like the crazy one.
That's true.
She's like the ultimate bad bitch.
That's true. Okay, she can do that.
Okay, great. Rihanna, you're in.
Rihanna's in, all right.
You're the Sam.
Mark your calendar, bitch.
You're the Sam Rockwell character in the Green Millie Miley.
Mm.
And then that snot-nosed little punk.
I wonder if we can get like Dame Maggie Smith. I feel like she could nail it.
Well, because I'm picturing the scene where after, you know, she botches that guy's execution and then, like, Tom Hanks, Kathy Bates, like, roughs her up and pushes her up against the wall. It's like, oh, you forgot to wet the sponge or something.
Yeah.
She's so frail.
She's frail, but that makes it a little more exciting.
Right.
Maybe a coccyx will be broke this take. Coccyx?
What?
It's a bone.
They don't have this is all female. They wouldn't have.
They don't have coccyx.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Grow up.
I forgot they don't have that very important bone. No, I feel like Dame Maggie Smith.
All right.
She's a wonderful actor.
Yeah.
Royalty.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay. Well, then don't fight me on this one. I gave you Rihanna. You give me Maggie Smith.
All right. You can have Maggie Smith. Well, this is good. This is like two really solid girl bossed out movies.
I feel empowered right now.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
I especially love the interactive elements of the Green Millie Miley. Mm-hmm. And I think that could drum up a lot of free publicity.
Free publicity. And it's about time movies started doing things for the fans.
You're letting them lick the stars to play a major role.
No, I mean, just in the abstract. Yeah, I feel like the movies these days, they're all about story and plot. And just they're all wrapped up in their own little creative worlds, right? And it's about time fans got their say.
That's true. Not enough movies. I guess I would describe it as service the fans.
It's about time movies were about fan service.
Yeah.
And you know what? I feel like that might actually make a decent pod.
That's a...
The first movie that was ever made for the fans.
Ooh. Put that back pocket that one.
Back pocket that one.
We're onto something here with this fan service thing.
I feel like fan service? Is that how you say it?
Maybe it's fan servants.
Fan servants.
Because you are the servant to the fan. Yeah. Fan servants.
Fan servants.
Well, we're always coming up with novel ideas. We're idea guys. We just come to us. $1 million ideas.
At least.
Possibly billion and one.
Miley and dollar. And million.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
This is a good writing session. We've come up with a couple stellar ideas.
Yeah, no, my heart's racing like a jackhammer.
You got anything you want to say to the folks before we leave them off?
No. I feel like they've gotten fucking plenty.
We love you for listening, though. Please give us a good rating. Tell your friends. Follow us on whatever format you listen to the pod on. We love you very much.